Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
This is Jane Burkhart from Starboard Vacations. As a preferred Sandals Beaches agency, our professional travel planning services are free to our clients. We can help find the best Sandals or Beaches resort that fits your budget. Starboard Vacations, calls 662-429-1000.
Roll free record on my count. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2. Roll A, fade up on A.
Southern Miss to the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
Okay, let's go. Super Talk Eagle Hour back at Pete Taylor Park at the Warren and Warren Asphalt Suite covering the Hattiesburg 2026 Baseball Regional. I guess we should say rainy Pete Taylor Park. But we're glad you're with us. Our special coverage of this special event, sponsored this week by Bank First, Royal Home Center, Pearl River Resorts, Corner Market Food Stores, and, of course, our dear friends at Warren and Warren Asphalt, family-owned asphalt contractor for 40 years. And we really appreciate them providing us with the suite to do our coverage of the 2026 Regional. Well, we're going to start the show off today. If you're wondering what's going on, we could not have better information for you. We've got Jeremy McClain, athletics director here in the suite with us, and Lee Applewhite, one of the athletic directors and also the baseball administrator. And, Jeremy, we'll look out at this beautiful baseball field, and we got a little worried yesterday. We were watching them practice on the scoreboard, and they were putting up weather delay. You don't think that's going
to
happen, do you?
Yeah, I guess everybody would need needs to get prepared, right? So, you know, it's going to be a tough forecast for sure, and there's going to be probably some moving parts, and, you know, we certainly want to just make everybody aware that what is on paper right now for start times, you know, probably is not going to be what we do, and we'll just have to see how that unfolds. But we'll communicate that. You know, we'll do the best we can. I think when you get to this time of year, especially in the southern part of the U.S., like, everybody's going to deal with it. What I am thankful for is that there's not a tarp on that field right now.
Yes, 100%.
We don't have to worry about game prep, you know, field prep, excuse me. We don't have to worry about field prep when you get out of a delay or anything like that. I couldn't imagine the anxiety I would have right now if that were the case.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's just so much easier to try to get these in when you have turf. But,
you know, recently I asked Coach Barry what was the turning point when the program really took the elevated step it's taken now. He didn't say the LSU victories. Mm-hmm. He said when we got the artificial turf.
Yeah, two things I think, and Austin, Scott, and I've talked a lot about this, building the weight room that was, you know, specific to baseball and allowing us to take that next step there and then adding the turf. I think from a development standpoint, people can't really understand how big those two things were and our ability to get work done that we need to get done. And I agree wholeheartedly. I think it's one of the most significant things we've done in the last decade.
Lee Applewhite, you're the baseball administrator. You told me earlier that this was supposed to be practice day here. A lot of running around town. Exactly what's going on right now?
Well, we got some indoor facilities that we've got some teams hitting in and practicing in right now. So just, you know, keeping them going, everything they need, just kind of running around, all hands on deck right now.
Yeah.
Well, I wanted to, Jeremy, they're using the weight room. You know, our baseball players are using it.
Yep.
You can tell.
Yep.
Yeah,
no doubt.
You can tell.
Yeah, they're pretty good guys. But Sean Jones, one of your colleagues, is the tournament director.
Right.
Can you fill in to the layperson what the responsibilities of the tournament director
is? Yeah, well, there's a reason he's not here with you guys, because he's working right now. So the tournament director basically kind of handles, it really runs the tournament. This NCAA site reps are, you know, we've got two reps here that are going to help us. They'll be in charge. They'll make sure that everything kind of goes the way it's supposed to and everybody gets a fair shake and things are done by the manual the way they're supposed to be done. But the tournament director is really the one that is communicating with everybody, making sure everybody's taken care of, making sure that things run the way they're supposed to run from a team standpoint. And so Sean's got he's got a lot of, you know, a lot of work this weekend ahead of him, and it's been a very busy week for him. He does a great job with it, and Lee and I try to help him every way we can, try to tie up loose ends. But he's, of course, you know, Sean's been doing this a while, and so he's been in charge of a lot of tournaments over the years, and so it's old hat in a lot of ways for him. And you know, and we take great pride in trying to do it the right way. We want everyone to feel like they're treated fairly and treated the right way. And, you know, we're going to try to beat you between the lines. We're going to try to make sure that you have a good experience.
From an administrative standpoint, we've asked other people this, so we'll ask you. The five entrants from the Sun Belt into this field never happened before. Long term, short term, what does it mean for the conference as a whole?
I think it's significant. I think it's an acknowledgement of kind of where we've gotten to as a league. I think for a long time, you know, it wasn't unusual to have two or three teams in. But to get to five is such a huge accomplishment. And I think they're obviously all five very deserving. You kind of look at the RPIs and the strength of schedules and all those things, kind of go through the metrics. And having played, you know, and seen either played or seen them play, you know, I think it's a very deserving reward for those teams to be in this tournament, and certainly hope they go and represent the right way in their regionals. And I'm sure they will, but I think it's a huge kind of feather in the cap. I think we've been, for a while, we've been the league that's been just behind the quote-unquote, you know, Power Four. And so I think we're gaining ground in all those ways. And, you know, to look up this year and for us to have more bids than the Big Ten, I mean, I think that's a huge step. And so all those things matter, I think, when we're talking about Sun Belt baseball. And I think it's only going to get better. Obviously, we're going to lose Texas State. I think Louisiana Tech coming in is going to continue to – that they're going to be able to kind of fill in that gap and bring a really good program to the league. And so I think we've got an opportunity to continue to grow that.
Chronologically, can you take us back from the minute that you knew that you guys were getting the bid and then what dominoes fall, starting with you, to get things ready for tomorrow?
Yeah, certainly. You know, it started about 2 months ago. And, you know, honestly, anytime you think you have a chance to bid, you know, there's a lot of work that has to be done, pre-work that has to be done, the bid process itself, you know, trying to turn in all of our paperwork and make sure all of our I's are dotted and T's are crossed. And then once that's awarded, you kind of put the plan into motion. And that is, you know, it begins really on Sunday night once that kind of announcement's made. And then on Monday, you're beginning to communicate to all the teams once you know who's in and what the field looks like. We're sending them hotel information. We're sending them the manual. We're sending them all the information they need to make their travel plans, get here quickly, and then kind of get going. And so, you know, the first 48 hours, it's crazy. It's crazy on the ticket side. It's crazy on the external side. But behind the scenes, there's not a lot of sleep that happens those first couple of days because we're trying to get everybody taken care of and get them what they need so they can get here and we can play baseball.
Do the teams themselves make travel plans as where they stay and so on and so forth? Where they fly into, drive into, what have you?
Yeah, we're responsible for reserving their hotel rooms. So we hold, you know, X number of rooms at four different hotels in the community. And we basically once we flip the switch and everything's a go, we'll turn that over to them and they'll reach out to the hotel. But we do hold those rooms for them. Otherwise, it's their responsibility whether they're busing or flying. If they're flying, the NCAA helps them with that. And so a little bit of both. We're responsible for helping them make some of those arrangements. And we've done this enough now that all that runs pretty smoothly.
Lee, when these coaches come into town and they run into this kind of weather, do you find that they just sort of take this in stride, or do you sense any frustration?
Well, a little bit of both. I mean, you have to deal with it, but you know, it's one of those things. But yeah, I mean, there's probably a little frustration with it too. But there's nothing any of us can do about it. We just have to, you know, take it step by step and, you know, communicate what we end up doing.
Jeremy, this tournament would be in real trouble if this was a grass field, wouldn't it?
Yes, it would be. And there's going to be some of that in some areas this weekend, I'm afraid. Like, you know, this pattern we're getting, you know, you're going to get a lot of places that are, you know, Atlanta, Gainesville. You think about all the places that kind of, you know, close to us in our footprint, they're all going to deal with some of the same things. And some of them have natural service.
Jeremy, were you happy with the way things turned out for Southern Miss? Number 9 seed, something to be very proud of.
Yeah, no, I'm very pleased with. Certainly, we earned every bit of that, but pleased that, you know, that the committee rewarded that. I think I've said this a million times, but I don't get to be in the room when those discussions happen, so I spend a lot of time outside, you know, sitting and kind of twiddling my thumbs. But yeah, certainly pleased with and feel like we were rewarded for our body of work. And you know, it's always, you know, you're a little anxious when you go in, you know, to that situation and there's a lot of really good teams and the committee has to make decisions on who fits where. So we're pleased with that and certainly excited about the opportunity to host again.
Mm-hmm. Well, you might not have been in the room, but you know where they live, Jeremy, right? So, Lee, I wanted to ask you about, you talked about frustrations with coaches. I want you to be to talk to the Eagle Nation. There's a lot of, look, let's lay it on the line, there's a lot of fair weather fans who haven't come to as many games during the regular season. Everybody now wants tickets. Everybody now wants parking. Everybody wants everything. And they think they're entitled to all these things. So what is your message to the Golden
is
Eagle
that
Nation?
Is that true?
It gets a little tense, but you know, we want them here. We wish we could sell a ticket to everybody. We really do. But we have a capacity here, and you know, we're working on, you know, making it better. But yeah, I mean, it gets a little tense. But you know, we went to a priority point system years ago, and that is the fairest way to do it, and it seems to be working pretty well. You know, if you have season tickets here, you have the first shot at getting them, and then you know, we try to take care of our Circle of Champion members, our donors that have really helped us out over the years, and try to take care of as many of those requests as we can. It's impossible to fill all of them, but yeah, we do the best we can. And like I said, the priority point system has really kind of, you know, settled that down a little bit.
I know you both have a lot to do and a lot on your schedule. Thank you for coming
up.
Yeah,
you bet. Appreciate you guys.
Thank you as always, Wade. We'll be nicer to you the next time you come.
Thank you.
We'll be right back. We're going to continue our coverage of the 2026 Hattiesburg Regional from Pete Taylor Park. Stay with us.
Big news from Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel. We've moved. You'll now find us directly behind our old building, right by Sawmill Animal Hospital. We're still your trusted electrical distributor, carrying everything from conduit to tape. And don't forget our full line of Milwaukee tools. Whether you're a contractor or a DIY pro, stop by the new Robinson Electric Supply at 1222 West 6th Street and see what's lighting up Laurel. Robinson Electric Supply. New location, same trusted service.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour. The Eagle Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
Family-owned asphalt contractor for 40 years serving Mississippi. That's Warren & Warren Asphalt. They specialize in paving, seal coating, and asphalt repair for residential, commercial, and industrial clients, emphasizing quality and customer service. As Kelly pointed out yesterday to Josh Warren, secret to success is customer service, and that certainly is what Warren & Warren is all about. Also, Corner Market Food Stores, and that's a special place to shop. 17 locations in Mississippi and Alabama. Seafood, locally butchered meats, fresh produce, bakery items, a deli, even flowers. And, of course, custom catering. It's not just a grocery store. It's a special place to shop, Corner Market Food Stores, and we appreciate their support, as well as all of our normal Eagle Hour clients. We thank them very much for making the show possible. Davis Wilson is a young man I had a pleasure of meeting up in Montgomery. He is the new beat writer for the Hattiesburg American covering Southern Miss. And Davis, welcome to the Eagle Hour.
Thank you for having me. I'm happy to be here.
Well, you got quite an introduction to Southern Miss baseball with the walk-off bottom of the ninth Grand Slam. I remember you looking at me after it was over and said, "That's amazing."
Yeah, I mean, that was incredible. That's probably the best baseball moment I've witnessed in person, I think.
Yeah.
It's got to be.
Yeah, well, we'll get used to some more, you know, for the short time where you're here.
Correct.
But,
correct. Get used to it.
But as we're looking over Pete Taylor Park now, and I'm sorry I couldn't join that first segment, had to do some, you know, housekeeping business stuff, but raining pretty hard, but I don't know if y'all covered it. How great is it that we have a turf field here?
Oh,
I mean, my gosh. I mean, if this was grass
tournament
field,
would be lost.
I don't think it could play.
Right.
And also to note that Camden Clark is going to start tomorrow against Little Rock. It was just announced, Camden Clark starting tomorrow against Little Rock. But, Davis, why don't you just give us your, you know, overall impressions, you know, 2 weeks on the job, you know, seen some crazy moments already. But what has it been like covering Southern Miss baseball? Because I just want to prepare you. This is probably going to be the only sport here.
Right. Be nice now.
No, I'm just saying that you're going to feel some of these moments.
You do understand that football season's right around the corner.
No, I'm not saying football isn't going to give that. I'm just saying
okay. Right.
There's a different feeling here than the other sports.
Keep digging out of that hole.
You're getting in trouble.
Next thing you know, he's going to predict Southern Miss to lose. Go ahead, young man.
No, I mean, it's been it's a pretty wild time to get thrown onto this beat. It was, you know, everybody here has been really great and has helped me kind of get comfortable. But, I mean, as far as the baseball goes, it's been incredible to watch. This team is a lot of fun to cover and write about. And Montgomery was a long weekend or a long week, really. But it was a great thing to cover. I love doing it.
I'm sure you enjoyed the delicious food up in the press area.
Oh, yeah. Really good.
That was just my...
yeah.
I introduced her to Jenny's.
Did you?
That's true.
Did you tell him the Jenny story?
Yeah.
Did you? Okay.
And I ate the whole plane.
Let me go back to what you just said. You just left a veil with Oz.
Yes.
What did
players.
He say about Camden Clark?
He didn't say anything. He didn't tell us who was going to start, but Jack Duggan told us after who was going to start.
Are you surprised by that news?
No, absolutely not. You looked at the splits. You know, Little Rock hits lefties really well. Very well. It's probably, you know, you looked at their splits. You know, their Little Rock lefty hits like up here and then the righty hits down here, so it makes a lot of sense. You know, as I said on the show yesterday, it's all about matchups at this juncture. I mean, you know, you have three starters. They're all interchangeable. I don't think Graydon's better than Camden. I don't think Camden's better than Sundstrom. You know, so if you're going to pitch somebody, you know, if you're going to change your rotation, it's all going to be about the matchups, mm-hmm. you know, and matchup-wise, it makes a lot of sense to start Camden. And, you know, historically, all of his best outings have been here, and you've got to win game one. You have not won game one the last few seasons. You've got to win game one. And so I think that's why they're deciding to go with Camden there. And then I would assume Sibley, you know, coming out of the pen, you know, as from that righty-lefty situation. But that would say that to me that Lawson Odom would start tomorrow.
Correct. And it would also indicate to me that if you have to go to relief, it's probably not going to be Sibley in the first game. If you're trying to stay away from left-handed pitching, correct?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I don't even know why I just said that, actually. That
yeah, stupid. Josh Ock, maybe.
Yeah, or Allen, if it's close. Yeah.
It's lack of sleep. Dude. Yes. That's what it is. Davis Wilson, you come to us, you're a native of Dallas. So, mm-hmm. obviously, Dallas, the Metroplex, coming to which is a much smaller area. What were your expectations coming here, and what have they been so far?
Well, I really had not spent a lot of time in Mississippi as a whole. I went to school in Missouri, so I lived in a smaller town, Columbia, Missouri.
So you went to Mizzou?
I did. I went to Mizzou.
Okay.
But yeah, I mean, this is obviously a lot different than Dallas. One thing that's stuck out to me right away is just, you know, people seem to know each other a lot more here. It's a smaller knit community, and I've kind of noticed that just like when I go out and I go to a restaurant or I, you know, shopping or whatever, people know each other and are generally really friendly. And that's not that Dallas people are mean, but it's a different feel. And it's been, I mean, yeah, this is a great experience. I've really enjoyed being here so far.
So when you were at Mizzou, did you do any articles about how Missouri has no business being in the SEC?
Oh, my goodness.
Now you're really trying to get him in trouble.
Now you're going to get me in trouble. No, I didn't write any of those articles. But I'll tell you, as someone who came from Missouri, and I covered Missouri baseball my freshman year for a paper. This is totally foreign to me. This, you know, the Pete Taylor Park is 500 times better than the excuse for a ballpark they have
it's
at Missouri.
Beautiful,
it's
beautiful, isn't it?
It's really incredible here. Yeah. And, I really never got to experience college baseball at Mizzou mm-hmm. because the program's just not very good. So coming here has been a lot of different in that sense.
Well, now, they were good enough to eliminate Ole Miss from the SEC
That's
tournament.
Right.
I'm sure that broke your heart, right?
No, yeah, really broke my heart. Yes.
And actually, congratulations are in order here because if you're going to get a journalism degree, Missouri is probably one of the top three schools. Missouri, Northwestern are two that come to mind. So congratulations.
Thank you.
For even getting in to
Thank
Missouri.
You very much. Yeah.
So what are you expecting this weekend? And tell us about the Hattiesburg Americans coverage. What have you guys got designed and outlined coming up this weekend?
Yeah, well, I'll be here. I'll be here every day. And I've never, like I said, never experienced a regional. People, you know, Dima has been telling me, you know, get ready. This is, Pete Taylor Park was awesome against Georgia Southern. It was a great atmosphere. He said, get ready for what's going to happen when they host a regional. It's going to be a whole different thing. So I'm excited to just get to kind of be around and experience it. And then as far as coverage, we'll be writing throughout the day. We have live update stories that go out and are updated throughout the game, and then post-game stuff. But I'll be here all weekend, and I'm excited about it.
We're glad to have somebody back here covering Southern Miss.
And I guess the writing, Bob, doesn't change. It's just what has changed over the time has been the way that the writing has been dispensed. We used to get that paper in the morning. You'd have your cup of coffee, and you'd read the Hattiesburg American. But now, just about everything is online access. Right. Yeah, right.
Yeah, a lot online. We still do 3 print editions, but a week, not every day anymore. And you know, I miss the physical paper. I always thought that was
me too.
I used to read box scores when I was a kid, the Dallas Morning News. So I always loved that. But it's a different type of coverage. We're still, you know, writing all the time. It's just a lot of it is going up online instead of in the paper.
Davis, after you watch the 2 games between Troy and Southern Miss, I guess you can understand why we're all pulling for a Troy-Southern Miss Super Regional here, huh?
Oh, my gosh. That was
what everybody says.
I'm not pulling for it. I do not want to see it.
Oh, my gosh. As far as, you know, content and coverage and things to write about, that series, a 3-game series here would be something else. And the 3 they played in Montgomery were all, you know, really quite something. Like we already mentioned the Grand Slam. That would be pretty great.
That would be pretty awesome.
So, Davis, were you a sports guy that learned how to write, or were you a news guy that learned how to write and got stuck, quote-unquote, taking a sports job?
No, I've been a sports guy. I've kind of had my eyes on being a sports reporter since I was in middle school, and that's what I went to the University of Missouri for, and then this job just so happened to be a sports news hybrid role. So really, I'm kind of learning news on the fly, learning how to write about, you know, just Hattiesburg news on the fly. But background certainly in sports.
Yeah. Do you do any news coverage for just strictly sports?
Yeah, we're strictly, I mean, at least my job is strictly sports with our paper. And like you said, we used to be a daily print, Pine Belt News, but now we're weekly. Mm-hmm. So I lay that every single week, just the sports section. Right. But we have a different reporter who does news. So pray for this man.
Before we run out of time, I gather both of you guys were at the avail that you just had with Oz and some of the players. Was there anything breaking other than the change of pitching rotation that maybe jumped out at either one of you?
No, man. I mean, just an they're just a confident bunch, and I think, you know, with the way they had to win that thing in Montgomery, you know, I asked Russo, and I said, look, like, you know, does this group feel different than last year even? And he said, listen, I think we just much more confident, you know, coming out of that thing. You know, last year he had that 18-game win streak, then you lose it in the championship game, you know, kind of slugging into the regional a little bit. Then you lose to Columbia and had to fight your way out of the losers bracket. You know, I think this is a different group, much more veteran group, which is a change. You know, look at the rest of the lineups for Jacksonville State, Virginia, and Little Rock. I mean, they got some great players, don't get me wrong, very good teams, but Southern Miss is by far the most experienced team here in the Hattiesburg Regional.
Hey, Davis, thanks for joining us, man.
Thank you so much for having me.
Welcome to Hattiesburg, and we'll have you on the show more in the future if you're still willing to come.
Oh, yeah, I'm willing to come.
Hey, as we head to the break, I want to remind you that First Bank, they have the technology of a big bank, but hometown service you know and trust. Bank First can handle all your banking needs, from checking accounts to ag loans and everything in between. Bank First can handle it all, and we thank them for their sponsorship of this special coverage of the 2026 Hattiesburg NCAA Regional. More to come from Pete Taylor Park, Warner Moore and Asphalt Suites. Stay with us.
Southern Miss to the top.
To the top.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
All right, everybody, welcome back. I want to thank Jeremy McClain for coming up this morning along with Davis Wilson from the Hattiesburg American as we continue our broadcast from the worn and worn asphalt suite here at rainy Pete Taylor Park. My man Dima just points out He's been here since 10 o'clock, and it hasn't stopped right.
It hasn't. I mean, well, I was going to practice this morning. Southern Miss was practicing, media availability, of course. And so I texted our good buddy Jack Duggan, and it was pouring at my house and thunder. And I said, is practice still happening? He's like, just show about 10:30. That's when we'll give interviews. And, you know, get soaked on the way in here. My feet are still wet and stuff. And, yeah, it's almost 2 o'clock now, and it's literally just downpoured the whole time I've been sitting here.
No question.
Has not stopped. It hasn't even stopped at all.
Deemer brought us the news just a few minutes ago. There is a change in the pitching rotation. Camden Clark will take Graydon Harris's Friday spot, and will open. We actually talked to Graydon Harris day before yesterday about his splendid performance and how, in a way, the rain really helped Southern Miss, because Graydon was able to come back Sunday and pitch. And here's how it went with the Sun Belt Pitcher of the Year, Graydon Harris. Graydon Harris on the Super Talk Eagle Hour. And Graydon, since the last time we talked, there was this little thing, a Pitcher of the Year in the Sun Belt. Where were you when you heard that, and what does that mean to you?
I was on the van from the Ferris Trophy Award, and Coach Oz asked our camera guy, he's like, "Hey, you rolling?" And he said, "Yes, sir." And then he told me on the bus, and it was exciting. I got to call my parents right after, and it was a very excited moment.
What has led to your great success your sophomore year? Where do you think your game has improved the most?
Yeah, I just feel like I'm attacking the zone a lot better this year. Worked a lot this offseason on a few different pitches, and really on working to attack hitters early. I feel like last year I'd get behind a lot, and that would lead to more walks and more hits and stuff like that. I feel like this year attacking early has helped my game plan overall, and I feel like that's where I've grown the most.
Well, you play for two of the arguably best pitching coaches in America. What have these two men meant to you this year?
A lot. I mean, they have two different perspectives on pitching, which makes it awesome when you're down there working. Coach Oz is really, really on the mental side of pitching. He'll help you a lot. And Coach Leje is more on the analytical, and he knows a lot about pitch grips and stuff like that. And those two working together over there, it's just amazing.
I know you were disappointed when the first game got rained out and you got shortened, but as it turns out, it was probably the best thing that happened to Southern Miss, because you were fresh Sunday and you just looked super sharp.
Thank you. Coach, I talked to him a little bit before. I was like, am I going to be able to come back later in this tournament? And he's like, we'll have to look at it. And after the rain delay and he told me I was done, I was like, I'll be ready for championship day. And he said, I know. And comes around, and I was hot the first game versus Troy and didn't end up pitching, and Coach was like, you good to start this next game? I said, heck yeah. I mean, give me the rock. I'm ready to go.
It was a great week. We were talking when we all got back home about how exhausting it was. For you guys, how tough was navigating all the weather delays and everything that occurred?
Yeah, it's just something we have to deal with. We can't let that control how we play on the field, and I mean, I really don't feel like that affected us much. We went out there before the rain delay, we were ready to play. During the rain delay, we were ready to play. At no point were we just like, oh, we're going to let this get to us. So I feel like we handled it really well, and I feel like that shows a lot about this group and how tough we are.
And after the disappointing game against Troy, you guys really regrouped and came back and dominated the rest of the tournament. Was there a message that you guys shared amongst yourselves that night when you got back to the hotel?
Yeah, there was probably a big message that I don't remember off the top of my head, but it was mainly just staying together and how good of a season we've already had, and just stay true to what we do, and don't try to do too much, don't try to change too much, because Troy's a very good squad, and I feel like we did that really well. We just stay true to what we know, throw strikes, and hit the ball in plus counts.
And now, final question, you get to perform on a big major stage right here in Hattiesburg. This must be pretty exciting for you.
Very exciting. No matter what day I'm throwing, I'm going to go out there and give it my all. And I feel like every guy on the staff is ready. We're ready when our name gets called, and give it our all for this city.
Congratulations, Pitcher of the Year in the Sun Belt Conference.
Thank you very much.
Great, Harris. Like every kid on the baseball team, just super polite and super respectful. Real quick, Dima, Were you surprised at all by the pitching change lineup?
No, absolutely not. I'm, like I said at yesterday's show when we were talking about this, it's you got three guys who are basically ace one, ace two, ace three. I mean, they're all three interchangeable. You know, I was just looking at the stats, and you look at their stats. I mean, 2.79 ERA for Sundstrom, 2.88 for Clark, 3.20 for Harris. Everybody's hitting just under 250 against all three of them, and there's literally no change between any three of them. They just all, you know, attack from a different way. So when you get into these regionals, you look at splits, and if you look at the splits, Little Rock hits lefties much better than they do righties. So why not throw Camden Clark? There's no, and then you look at Jacksonville State's and Virginia's lineups. By the way, they do not hit lefties good at all. So you really like that 1-2 punch with Clark on Friday, and you know him at the Pete has just been incredible. I know these are his stats right now. You know, 0.98 WHIP, opponents only hitting 202 against him. But I would like to see his stats at the Pete, because Clark, to me, is the best at the Pete. And you have got to win game one. I mean, you have not won game one the last 4 years. You've got to win game one. And if you win game one with your pitching staff, you feel really good about getting out of this.
Right. Kurt Jones and J.J. Toms are here in the studio with us, or rather the suite. I guess we get used to being in a studio. And both of these gentlemen are with Bank First. And first of all, guys, thank you very much for helping us do this. We're having a blast reporting on this tournament to our listeners around the state.
Yeah, thanks for having us. We're super excited about the weekend. We'll all be here and supporting the Eagles, and hopefully the rain will stop and we can get some games in.
Your bank is very much involved in supporting Southern Miss Athletics, isn't it?
Yeah, we always have been. You know, starting back, of course, we originally were Magnolia State Bank, right, and have recently been bought out by Bank First, but we've always been big supporters, good friends with all the coaches and, mm-hmm, and now some of the players, which is really cool. But yeah, we're big supporters, and Kurt, you know, Kurt and I both went to Southern Miss. Kurt played football here.
Yep.
So we're entrenched in the community. Yep.
Well, Kurt, I'm just delighted that y'all came back up here after we brought Kelly to your bank a couple of weeks ago.
Right.
We were pleasantly surprised to see that y'all still wanted to associate with football. Tell us about that. When did you play here?
2000 through 2002. So I played with Luke Johnson, actually.
Really?
Yeah, he was a little younger than me.
Great Luke Johnson.
The great Luke Johnson.
Dr. Luke Johnson.
Yeah, doctor.
Super guy. Hall of Fame Dr. Luke Johnson.
Super guy. He was a good guy back then, and he still is.
He's a wonderful guy.
He
and, of course, was
great
a
human.
Big part of this show for many, many years before he moved on to bigger and better things down in New Orleans. Yeah. Guys, what would you like for our listening audience, and we think we've got a big one today with the regionals here, to know about your great institution?
Well, we're excited about the Bank First. So our team's still together. You know, we're making loans and growing the bank and staying in the community. So we're excited. A lot more products and technology and resources. So it's been really good. We've kind of made the transition now. We figured out, you know, most of the Bank First processes. And so it's going good. We've kind of turned that corner and getting, you know, things are running smooth for us now.
Good deal. All right, give me your prediction for the weekend. How do you see this thing playing out?
Oh, I don't want to jinx it, but I do love the fact that Dima mentioned this, that Cam is pitching tomorrow. Like you said, at the Pete, he's been absolutely lights out.
Mm-hmm.
It works out with how Little Rock hits righties, not as well. And then the next day, for Saturday, the other two teams don't hit lefties very well. So it's working out perfectly. We're swinging the bat just – it's crazy how great we're swinging the bat and scoring runs. I did not make it over to Montgomery, but of course watched all the games. So exciting. So mm-hmm. exciting. And I can tell you one thing, the Pete will be absolutely electric.
It will be
electric.
Rain or shine.
Yes.
Rain or shine.
Yeah, there's going to be people here if it's pouring down like this.
I've had friends call me and say, all right, what time are we getting to the game? Maybe 11.
Why? And you both of you men are businessmen in the community. Why is this so significant for the business community of Hattiesburg to have these NCAA regionals here?
Well, I mean, and Kurt can maybe speak to this as well, but just the revenue it brings in, mm-hmm. you know, the tax dollars it brings in, and, you know, the Hattiesburg and the surrounding areas just rally around USM baseball. And it's just this, I'm staring at the sign here, it's tradition of excellence.
Mm-hmm.
Starting with all the coaches before Oz, and Oz has taken it and run with it. But it's just something that we can all be very proud of. You know, they bring in tremendous young men. When they leave here, they're fantastic. And those guys, when they leave, they come back and pour into the program. It's just a family. It's a family atmosphere. And it just, mm-hmm. it, it's very special. And, you know, Hattiesburg is not one of these huge cities. You know, we rally around our athletics and especially our baseball program, and it does bring a lot to.
And you're right. When you say family, it is a family from the team to the fan base. The love for the program is unbelievable.
It really is. It really is.
As a former football player, did you ever think you would see a day that this school became such a baseball school real quickly?
I didn't. I tell you, but you know, to JJ's point, it's electric here, and I've been to a lot of sporting events, and this is special here. Yeah. So.
Gentlemen, I want to thank both of you very much. Our relationship with your bank is really important to us. We're very grateful to have you all part of our program, and we thank you for coming up here in the suite, and I hope we have a lot to celebrate come Sunday night.
Hopefully so. We'll try to keep it down upstairs.
Yeah.
Throw it in the dirt.
That's right.
Who's going to be with you, right?
That's right. Unfortunately.
Yeah. Bank First, and appreciate
that. Thanks, guys.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, we appreciate Kurt and JJ for joining us. More from the Warren & Warren Asphalt Suite here at Pete Taylor Park. Rainy. Yes, it's still raining. We'll be right back.
Big news from Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel. We've moved. You'll now find us directly behind our old building, right by Sawmill Animal Hospital. We're still your trusted electrical distributor, carrying everything from conduit to tape. And don't forget our full line of Milwaukee tools. Whether you're a contractor or a DIY pro, stop by the new Robinson Electric Supply at 1222 West 6th Street and see what's lighting up Laurel. Robinson Electric Supply. New location, same trusted service.
The Eagle Hour, Southern Miss to the top.
Continuing our coverage live from Pete Taylor Park, the rain is letting up a little, but again, let it do whatever it wants to do today. It's tomorrow at 1 o'clock that we
hope
that things will calm down. Bob and Dima are off doing their media avails with the paparazzi, you know, since they're big stars. So me and Ben Windpigler, the star of the Ben Windpigler show that airs Tuesdays and Wednesdays on WLAU at 9 a.m.
That's right.
Anybody that's in the ratings game knows all about the Ben Windpigler show.
My agent will be in touch soon.
Yeah, for sure. Hey, look, we're here at the Warren & Warren Suites at Pete Taylor Park today. Tomorrow, let me tell you what we have planned for coverage. The Eagles, weather permitting,
right,
and we have to capitalize those letters and put two lines under them, are scheduled to go at 1 o'clock tomorrow, which is our normal airtime, and it will be. I'll be in the studio anchoring coverage from the studio. Bob's going to be reporting live from Game 1 if it does get underway. We're also saluting other champions tomorrow on the show. And who are we talking about? Well, the Pearl River Community College Wildcat softball team won the NJCAA Division II World Series. So we will be talking with Coach Christy Meeks tomorrow on the program. The William Carey men's baseball team is in Lewiston, Idaho. They are the only undefeated team left in the winner's bracket. They are scheduled, I think, to play this afternoon at 3 o'clock. But Bobby Halford, old BH, who's been at it for some 40 years now at William Carey, he's going to join us on the show tomorrow. Again, plus live reports from Pete Taylor. So there's a lot that will be taking place tomorrow on the Eagle Hour. And we hope that if you're not here at the game, or even if you are, that you can pick up that broadcast. Joining us now is Justin Smith from the Royal Home Center on Highway 84 West in Laurel. And, Justin, can you hear us, first of all? I guess that would be a no.
I guess not.
Yeah, I guess.
I guess we lost Justin, Michael.
Yeah, but we'll try to.
Okay. Oh, okay. Well, that's on us. We'll get him next time.
Yeah, yeah. So Justin Smith is scheduled to be on the program. Royal Home Center is one of the sponsors that makes this broadcast possible here at the Warren & Warren Suite. Still to come on the show today in our two-hour coverage, former head coach Scott Barry and Hill Denson will be joining us. Glenn Dyer, who works with Dima Mixon on podcast coverage, and he's got his own website covering Southern Miss. He's going to be on the show joining us a little bit later on. So we're trying to cover this thing from all angles. Let me tell you what the teams were scheduled to do today. They were all supposed to take turns practicing here at Pete Taylor Park, but they no more were scheduled to get started to practice, and the rains came. So the administrative staff at Southern Miss has been hurriedly trying to find other places. Well, they've already had places lined up, but got them to these different indoor facilities so that the three teams who are scheduled to play, in the, at least they're going to be able to hit indoors and take a few ground balls indoors. And the weather forecast, as Jeremy McClain talked about earlier on this program, does not look real good for tomorrow. They're hoping that there might be a window or two in the afternoon. But the last thing they really want to do in a perfect world is to get a game started,
right,
play two innings, and then have a lightning delay or things of that nature. So it's really going to be tenuous tomorrow. And now let's go to Royal Home Center on Highway 84 West, where Justin Smith joins us. Justin, thank you for helping sponsor this program. Tell us about your thoughts now of the big regional coming in this weekend here to Hattiesburg. Your thoughts?
Yeah, we're really excited to support the local guys, man. It's really good to see our hometown performing so well.
I want to talk about a little bit about your business at Royal Home Center, because it used to do back in the day, people would say, you know, mobile homes.
Right.
Was the term. But, man, when you look at the construction of a lot of these properties today, it's unbelievable how far that business has come, and even in 20 years or so. Is that fair to say?
It's definitely the right thing to say there. I mean, they get better and better every single year. You know, the construction gets you know, a whole lot better. I mean, most of our houses are going to have real wood cabinets, you know, 2x8 floor joists, 2x4 walls. I mean, they're as solid as you can get.
And how has – and I know right after COVID in particular, there was – very few industries hit as hard as yours, because from a production standpoint, just getting materials to be able to put, it's not that there weren't people to buy, it was that there just weren't enough supplies and materials to be able to put them together. Have things solidified as far as that goes, Justin? How is the supply chain now?
Well, the brands that I have here, which I'm looking at anywhere from 2 to 3 weeks. If I order one custom ordered, you know, the highest one now is around 6 weeks. I can have the entire house built in here on the lot. So from like 2 to 6 weeks.
What are people buying now? What are people buying these days?
Well, we're about half and half with single wides and double wides. It just depends on their situation. But we sell about, we got maybe younger couples are buying a single wide, you know, and then, you know, you got some other people buying some bigger double wides and anything in between. I even carry some tiny homes now as well, which is one bedroom and two bedroom little tiny houses. So it's kind of a plethora of all of them.
Well, we encourage everybody to get by Royal Home Center on Highway 84 West in Laurel to take a look at all the things that are available to you, whether it comes to financing, whatever your situation might be. Justin Smith and the pros at Royal Home Center can help you. Justin, thanks for jumping on with us, man. We wish you nothing but the best. And again, thanks for helping us get these shows on the air from P. Taylor Park.
Yes, sir. I appreciate y'all. Thank you.
All right, Justin Smith joining us when we come back. Boy, you talk about the varsity that has just walked in here. Southern Miss Baseball Royalty, Hill Denson, and Scott Berry will rejoin Bob, Dima, me, and Ben Windpigler as we continue live from Pete Taylor Park after these commercial messages.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour. The Eagle Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
All right, you can experience a world-class vacation close to home, and that's at Pearl River Resort. State-of-the-art sports book, world-class resort hotel, and five-star dining. Pearl River Resort gives you a luxury getaway without leaving the state. So book a trip today. Visit pearlriverresort.com. I want to thank Pearl River Resort, Royal Home Center, Bank First, Corner Market Food Stores, and, of course, our good friends Warren and Warren Asphalt for making this broadcast possible. All right, so we sit here and watch the rainfall, and, man, we got two men in the studio with us now, or in the suite with us now, that I think are very much responsible for the success that we're going to enjoy this weekend, Scott Berry and Hill Denson. And, gentlemen, we ask Oz Monday. I made a comment to Oz that after the game Sunday, I truly did think about you two gentlemen and Corky Palmer, and how if it weren't for you three, I don't think we would be at the level we are. He completely completely agreed. And Coach Barry, I think about you. If it wasn't for you, we wouldn't have an artificial turf here, and this tournament would be in trouble.
It sure would. And in the last 5 years, there would have been dates that we were to play in this kind of weather that we would have been in trouble too. So, you know, it was a great addition, maybe one of the most important from a development side addition and facilities that we've made. I think it's probably the most as far as player development, recruitment, and getting them here. It's been a game changer for us, mm-hmm. and just fortunate that I was a part of it. We had a lot of boosters that kicked in on the cost and paying this thing off, as well as our school.
Back in the day, how many hours a week did you and your staff spend working on the field?
You know, I don't know if you could put the number of hours on there, but it was a lot. And it was a lot because we wanted it to be a first-class facility. You know, sometimes you go to places where you can just tell there's a lot of neglect. They just show up and play. But we wanted to showcase. You know, if somebody came here in the summertime and they were on their way to Atlanta to perfect game, or East Cobb tournament, and they were coming out of Houston, and they want to stop by and see Pete Taylor Park. It was important to me that everything looked great here. It looked game ready. I mean, everything was edged, everything was picked up, because the last thing I wanted them to do was to get back on that interstate, head into Atlanta, and go, God, that's not the program I thought it was. And so, you know, we really believed in everything mattered back then, and we still do.
Mm-hmm. Coach Jensen, your name's out there on that field. I know you had a lot of pride Sunday evening when you saw these kids win the tournament after winning the league championship. You're largely responsible, Coach, for a lot of the success here. I don't think anyone argues with that.
Well, I appreciate that, Bob. Thank you.
How'd you feel Sunday when you watched them?
I was great. I was nerve-wracking right there at the mm-hmm. end, but it was nice. So.
I should tell people that after that walk-off grand slam at about 12 o'clock, you sent me a text and said we had them right where we wanted them.
Yeah.
Never a doubt.
Talk about that moment.
Oh, it was a good one. It was absolute. My wife had already gone to bed, and I hollered at her, we won. She jumped up out of bed, thought the house was on fire. She came running in the room, but she was happy too, so it was great.
Scott, what about you? I mean, what did you think during that grand slam?
Well, I could see it building.
Yeah.
You know, after I think Long struck out, and then Smitty took a two-strike. What a great at-bat, and was able to get a base hit, and then Urban base hit, Gillespie walk. And, you know, the one that I felt like that everybody – When Russo struck out,
yeah,
everybody, I could feel everybody, oh, because he's come through so many times. But I looked at my wife, Laura, and I said, hey, don't think that Dre Barrett can't leave the yard right here. I mean, he's that kind of a guy. And sure enough, it got 0-2. And, you know, that happy potter, that bat, hit that ball. And But I was excited. I'll be honest with you, at 3 o'clock in the morning, I woke up, I could not even sleep. It was like I was still coaching. And the adrenaline, I told Oz, I said, I continued to feel that adrenaline. And I kept telling myself, laying there in the bed, you're not coaching anymore. But it was just that adrenaline rush that you have on those big moments that you've had over your career that just play themselves right back out. Mm-hmm. And those are great moments.
It couldn't have been more dramatic, could it?
It really couldn't have.
It was really quite incredible.
You know, they say baseball's romantic. Well, there's a cruel side to it, too.
Yeah.
And don't think I haven't experienced the cruel side. I've mm-hmm. seen that happen before. I've felt that. So it's a game that it's like no other game.
No question about that. Damon?
Yeah, I mean, I think when we asked Oz about it, and y'all can both attest to this probably, you know, he said, well, I mean, it's just another moment that you see it with this team of just like, are you kidding me? You know, you saw it with Russo and the home run that he had against Georgia Southern. You've seen it and time again, walk-offs and comeback wins, you know, the whatever it was, the relay to home plate to start this thing off, or your 8 regionals in a row. So it's just another one of those moments. You're just like, of course it happens.
Coach, when you were running this program, I know your initial goals were to get to a regional, and you built the foundation that we all operate on now. But now regionals are just expected, and now – thanks to this man sitting to your left, regionals here have become the norm.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that's what we wanted to do the whole time. And
was this your vision, Coach, what we see now?
Yeah, I didn't know I had a vision, but I think that was probably what I was talking about, too. Mm-hmm. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What do you think about that, Coach Barry?
There's no doubt about it. You know, I've heard people, and I heard it earlier this week. I think it was on a national telecast or that I saw on X, and they said that there's only been five coaches at Southern Miss. Well, there's been more than five coaches at Southern Miss. The other ones just didn't stay as long as the prior four of Oz. I mean, you can go in the yearbook and look at them and tell. But what I feel like that Hill did is that he took what Pete established, and when that facility that used to be on 4th Street, which is now the practice football field, which this one's on 4th Street too, but when they brought it here, his vision kicked in of building a place that people could come to and enjoy college baseball. Now, he would probably tell you, I would never have thought that college baseball would get this big and as popular as it is, not only here, but nationwide.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I can remember back in the around 2000 it was in somewhere in the 2000s, and Bianco had gotten a raise of to $150,000 for a year. And it wasn't 2 weeks later, Polk got a raise of $154,000. And I called Hill and I said, Hill, did you ever think in your wildest days that you would ever see a college baseball coach making over $100,000? He said, never. Well, now we see where it is. Obviously, with some programs, it's mind-boggling.
Millions of dollars.
So, but his vision was, it started it. And then Court followed in with Hill and put his stamp on it. And mm-hmm. I was able to come in and put my stamp on it with some things. And it just continues to build. And Oswald put his mm-hmm. stamp on it, you know, with things. But it's been something that the community has invested in, our fan base has invested in. And I think more importantly, the state of Mississippi has invested in it. They love baseball, and they love college baseball in this state.
For sure. I understand there's a real history between you and the coach of Little Rock.
Coach Curry, yes. He played for me in 1997-98. So a very, very good catcher. Played 2 years for me at Meridian. We signed him, Corky's last year at 96, and then Cork came down with Hill, and then I had Chris came in and had him on the 97-98 team, and then he went to Mississippi State, made it Triple A with the Giants, and has had numerous coaching stops. He and I went and had breakfast this morning, and went to Vicious Biscuit. Cliff took care of us over there, and what a great breakfast that was. But a great time spending with an outstanding young man. I mean, he is first class. He's got a first class program up there. He runs it right. Something that, as former coach, I'm very proud of him and the way that he conducts his program mm-hmm. and how he competes with little resources.
Right. Hill, what would Corky Palmer be saying about all this?
I doubt, Coach.
And he'd be wanting to know, who y'all pitching? Number one. <Yeah.
laughs> So. Well, we heard that Camden Clark is going to pitch tomorrow. There's going to be a little bit of a change in the pitching rotation. Would that surprise you?
No, it doesn't surprise me. I didn't know that, but it doesn't surprise me either way. I think all three of them are in good shape for that. Gotcha.
Can I reveal a story about him?
Sure.
So my son-in-law a few weeks ago was here, and he asked me if I could possibly get him a Hill Denson bobblehead. So I called my friend here, the coach, and I asked him, could you get me a bobblehead? And here's what he told me, Scott. He said, well, I'm going to look around the house and see if I've got one. But if I don't, I'll bet you Scott's got one of my bobbleheads in every room of his house. And I'll just go get one of them.
Well, I do. It's like a punching bag. Every room I can go in and knock that head around.
I have his on the back of my commode.
And I'm afraid that is true.
Kelly's pulling his pants up. It's getting deep. It's getting deep here in the suite. Gentlemen, thank you so much for coming. You're just the best. And we wouldn't be celebrating this here this weekend if it were not for you two men. There's no question
about
that.
Well, thank you. We share it with you all and a whole lot of other people.
It's
been something that's been really, really neat to watch over the years.
It's a family, Scott.
It is.
And
that's what makes this special.
It's a true family. And thanks to both of you fine gentlemen. Always appreciate your time on our show.
Thank you, Bob.
Bill Denson and Scott Berry. It just doesn't get any bigger than that, except that Glenn Dyer's next. Super Talk Eagle Hour from the Warren & Warren Asphalt Suite continues.
Southern Miss to the top.
To the top.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
All right, welcome back. Super Talk Eagle Hour, broadcasting from Pete Taylor Park, the Warren & Warren Asphalt Suites. And we're very grateful to Larry Warren and his crew for allowing us, Josh Warren and his crew for allowing us to be here today. And I don't know what we'd have done if they hadn't done this, Demon, because we would have been wet and nasty by now, right?
It's still raining.
I know. It's still raining.
And it hasn't stopped.
And sometimes fun gets in the way of work. Well, this break almost caught us by surprise here.
Right. Well, it's always fun when you have Hill Denson and Scott Berry up in the house with you. I can't. Did I just hear Hill Denson say that he has Scott Berry's bobblehead on his toilet?
On his commode, yeah.
I wasn't going to repeat it, Bob, but yeah. You just did. So.
Ouch.
Are you leaving, Coach, or are you going to come back? You're leaving? Did we make you mad?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hill Denson's mad and just left the suite. Quarter Market Food Store, it's a special place to shop. 17 locations, Mississippi and Alabama. Seafood, locally butchered meats, fresh produce, bakeries, deli items, even flowers, and, of course, custom catering. It's not just a grocery store. It's Quarter Market Food Store. Nobody does a better job covering Southern Miss sports than our next guest, Glenn Dyer. And, Glenn, it's always good to have you, man, and good to have you in person for a change.
Yeah, it's a pleasure, guys. Thanks for having me on.
You're sitting right next to the great Kelly Sander.
The legend, the man wearing salmon today.
But, salmon. Thank you
thank
for that.
You.
My
pink,
shirt is
pink. Kelly
it's not pink. It is salmon.
It's pretty in pink.
And, by the way, you hurt Demas' feelings.
How'd I do that?
Because you just said nobody covers Southern Miss better than Glenn Dyer.
Well, this man covers
I'll take a second to Glenn. He covers much better than
I'm
me.
Just an extension of Demon.
This
anyway.
Man, Demon Mixon, does a heck of a job. Both of you guys.
Glenn's the guy.
Lots of different ways to think about going into game one of this regional. When you look at a pitching rotation, there would be a lot of people, Glenn, that would say you dance with the lady that brought you, right? But Camden Clark gets the call in game one. Your thoughts on that decision?
Well, it came down to splits, analytics. And Demon, I've had this conversation several times. You know, last year we had JB, by far the stud. You want to match him and, you know, put him in the best position to get you the biggest victory. We've got two guys that, you know, we both consider, you know, 1A and 1B. I wouldn't have a problem with either one of those guys, Camden Clark or Graydon Harris, starting on any given night. Now, if you want to put him in the best position, you know, to match splits, you know, that's what they're going to do.
Does it concern you that it, in any way, and I'll ask Dima and you both this, that it breaks up your continuity?
Mm-mm. No, not really, because, you know, these guys are mature. They've thrown a lot of innings, and, you know, he's started. He's come out of the pen, you know. And I like the idea, too. It gives Graydon an extra day of rest as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You still feel the same way, Dima?
Yeah, I mean, didn't Camden throw Friday's game last week, so it's going to be a week for him.
Exactly.
So there's nothing there. And
exactly.
Then, you know, Graydon threw on Sunday for a bullpen. They're going to be just fine. I don't think it changes up anything.
One of the things that people kind of get caught up in is numbers. All right, records, their conference records, the overall win-loss records. But it never really comes up in discussion about, okay, so the numbers that they've put up, in this case Little Rock, Jacksonville State, that they do have good win-loss numbers, but what about the competition that they've played, and specifically conferences? Because in your off weekends and so on, you can, in preseason, so to speak, you can schedule those games. But when you're in a conference, you don't have any choice. So how would you compare? Let's just take those two teams we talked about, because we know more about Virginia, of course, being the bigger of the schools. How would you compare the level of competition that Little Rock has played in their conference and Jack State has played in Conference USA?
I would say it's equal for Jacksonville State and Southern Miss because Conference USA got three bids, Sun Belt got five, very surprisingly. So, you know, really a four, it's a three-bid league for both teams. Jacksonville State also went out and scheduled SEC teams just like Southern Miss did. They swept national seed number four, Auburn. So this is not any team to joke around with, Jacksonville State. I think they're the best team in the field other than Southern Miss. As far as Little Rock, yeah, I mean, of course, Ohio Valley, you know, they're historically going to be a one-bid league, you know, for most of the case. Little Rock was the four seed going to the conference tournament. You know, they lost that opening game and had to climb their way out of the loser's bracket, 7 games in 5 days to get here. So that's really impressive, you know, a team that can bounce back that way. So I think all three of these teams that are here are very competitive and all could come out of this with a W.
Yeah, Little Rock won't be intimidated at all. Mm-hmm. Everybody I've talked to, the first thing they say is competitiveness, compete. They don't get blown out in games. They're always there at the end. In terms of playing, you know, the caliber teams that maybe Southern Miss has played, they went to Ole Miss and hung 10 runs on them over there in Oxford. Last year in the Baton Rouge Regional, they beat LSU and Dallas Baptist.
And when you look at the
almost beat LSU twice.
Right. Yeah. So they're no joke. They won't be intimidated at all.
And when you look at the characteristics of these teams too, Glenn, Jacksonville State talked about how good they are, but characteristically they are completely different. Compared to the way they win ball games compared to Virginia. Virginia likes the long ball.
Yeah.
Jacksonville State's not going to hit the long ball, but, man, they run, they bunt, a lot of hit
pressure.
And run.
Yeah, their MO is they will pressure you to death. You make a mistake, they pressure you. Stole over 100 bases. Something also to consider, they are probably, in terms of the way these teams are built, the most like Southern Miss. Of any team in the thing. I could see, you know, at the end of this thing, this end up being a battle between multiple games with Southern Miss and Jacksonville. Mm-hmm. They're built very similar. Southern Miss slugs a little more. Jacksonville's a little more athletic and runs a little more. Other than that, they got pitching depth. They got good starters. They both play excellent defense.
So it sounds, I mean, this is going to be an oversimplification perhaps, but the way you beat Jacksonville State is you can't steal first base.
Yeah,
right.
Keep the traffic off the base pass.
Yeah.
Don't give them freebies. Don't give them free 90. You know, free 90. Just.
I would say that's the same for Virginia because you know their offense is based upon the home runs. They've almost hit 100 home runs this season. You know, if you're going to give them up, you're not just going to shut out these teams. But if you can give them up without the walks, without the crooked numbers, you feel pretty good about your chances against them. With Jacksonville State, the thing is that their rotation is also equally as good as their bullpen, similar to Southern Miss. So it's like, you know, a lot of times we've seen in Southern Miss, when they play teams, even though they'll play tomorrow with Little Rock, it's like, all right, their guy on the mound is pretty good. But once you get into that bullpen, you know, that's where Southern Miss is generally fluctuated. That's not the case with Jacksonville State. They got arms. They got a guy who's thrown 25 innings. And he has under one ERA, and he's one of the studs that they have back there. So, you know, their top bullets will they'll throw against Virginia, but they're going to have plenty left in the tank.
But I'll take my chances against a home run hitting team much more so than a team like Jacksonville State.
I agree.
That will single or double you to death because statistically you're going to hit singles and doubles a heck of a lot more than you're going to hit home runs.
I mean,
so you got to keep the Gamecocks off the bases.
Yeah, I mean, as a team, they almost hit 300 across the board. You know, I mean, it's a good baseball team.
Really good.
Similar to – is there similarities between the way Little Rock and Jacksonville State play?
Not so much. I mean, in terms of starting pitching and bullpen and closers, Jacksonville State's heads above, you know, Little Rock in that regard. Little Rock's just a team that's just
– scrappy.
They're older. They're not going to be intimidated. And in most of the games, they're there till the end. It's just pitching depth and sometimes some mistakes that have cost them big games towards down
but
the stretch.
But we hear they have a pretty good Friday night guy, right?
Yeah, big 6'5", 220-pound right-hander. He's going to be fastball, slider, changeup. And he's their stud by far, 3 ERA. What is it, Dima? About 72 Ks over 24 walks?
Yeah, 76 over 21, 118 whip. Opponents hitting just 240 against them. So they got some pretty daggum good Friday night arm right there. It probably gives this lineup a good bit of issue.
And so he's got about a 3-to-1 walk to strikeout ratio, which is about where you want to be.
That's where you want to be.
But if you can compare him to a lot of the Southern Miss pitchers' walk to strikeout ratio, it's not close.
Well, Southern's been elite in that area for several years. I mean, they attack the strike zone.
That's one thing about Jacksonville State that I noticed when I dove into their stats as well. Their walk number is very high. You know, Bo Bryans, who's their secondary starter behind Cash, Stephen Cash, who I'm assuming is going to go against Virginia. Now, opponents just hitting .222 against him, which is very impressive. 73 strikeouts to 40 walks on the season. So the walk numbers to me on Jacksonville State's a little high. So if Southern Miss gets in a matchup against them, you know, you kind of like that matchup because Southern Miss's offense has been, you know, predicated on, you know, take your walks and punish the mistakes. You know, they're not a team that's been just strikeout team. You know, they were against Troy in those first two games, but on Sunday they weren't. They only had two strikeouts in both games. So you like your chances in that regard.
And Virginia is an interesting dynamic in that if you have a team that hits as many home runs as they have, when you have
strikeout
teams,
numbers are up.
Yes, that's where I was going, that when you hit home runs, if you're not hitting home runs, you're usually striking people out.
Yeah, almost 500 as a team. Yeah.
And as a coach, man, I can't move people on strikeouts. I don't care if you ground out. Just put it in play. Put a little bit of pressure on the defense where I can move runners around.
Sure.
But I can't with a strikeout. I know that the home run is sexy, but it's not going to help move runners.
Yeah, and in Virginia, they win games, you know, one way. With the bat, they swing the big stick. These other two teams, especially Southern Miss and Jacksonville State, they can win games in multiple ways. Mm-hmm. Considerably better at defense. I was kind of shocked by UVA, .964 fielding percentage and 72 errors.
Not good.
Their middle infield, which we all know that's vital between the shortstop and the second baseman, between the two of them, they almost have 30 errors on the season. That's going to come back to bite you at some point.
Strength of any baseball team is up the middle. Catcher, yep. Second base, shortstop, center field.
Real quickly, as we head to the break, from a Southern Miss perspective, who do you want to win the game between Virginia and Jacksonville State?
Probably Jacksonville State.
Really?
Let's go.
You think so?
Yeah.
Oh, I would say Virginia.
You want to just take them
100%.
On right out of the gate, huh? Yeah. All right, Glenn Dyer's up here with us in the Warren and Warren Suite. We're going to continue our coverage of the 2026 Hattiesburg Regional. I was going to say the rain has stopped.
No.
No, it hasn't. We'll be back.
Wishful.
Southern Miss to the top.
Continuing our two-hour coverage from the Warren and Warren Suite at Pete Taylor Park, overlooking a little less wet. It's still kind of spitting out there. We're doing everything we can to chase the rain away. But we're glad that you're with us here on this two-hour edition today. I'll be back in the studio tomorrow. Bob and Dima will be here on location for that scheduled 1 o'clock start. And we capitalize it and underline it twice because, again, we're going to be at the mercy of the weather, and we don't know what's going to happen. But for now, that is the plan. Justin Harris joins us from he's one of our proprietors at Fuzzy's and Dickie's Barbecue Pit, former pitcher at Pearl River, who, by the way, is still in the winner's bracket out in Enid, Oklahoma, in the NJCAA Division II World Series. They very well might win that thing again. And then he went on to the beautiful campus of Samford. If you've never been to Samford University in Birmingham, it really is pretty. There's not a lot else going on in Birmingham, but Samford, it's really pretty. Justin, I know you're looking at this series not only as a fan, but as a restaurateur in Hattiesburg. Are you going to get any sleep this weekend?
Probably not, but we're this is one weekend where you're excited not to sleep.
Yeah, so yeah. You're kind of looking over some of the Southern Miss numbers here and trying to decipher some things on yourself. Any thoughts you have, not only about the Eagles, but about the three opponents? We know that they're going to be playing Arkansas and Little Rock, but then potentially Jacksonville State or Virginia. Any thoughts on any of those?
Yeah, when I was in college, we did play at Jacksonville State. Obviously, they've had a good program for a long time. But I think last year they struggled a little bit more than they have this year. And they've obviously been a really strong year. I think they're really tough, and I think that's going to be a closer ball game between them and Virginia than people expect. They could even come out with a win. I'm excited about Southern. Obviously, Little Rock's not going to be, you know, an easy game, but I think we can come out ahead and be ready whatever time we get to play that and be ready for Saturday to take on the winner of Virginia and Jacksonville State.
Well, I've long said it, I mean, and you know, Glenn, you'll be here, and I hope everybody listening is going to be here. I mean, when I'm done working the Southern Miss Little Rock game, scheduled 1 o'clock, could be earlier, could be later, we don't know, I'm going to stick around and watch that Virginia-Jacksonville State game. I mean, you're going to have two really good arms. Virginia has a great ace, and then obviously with Jacksonville State's arms, Jacksonville State's arms against Virginia's offense, and then Virginia's arms against Jacksonville State's offense.
Yeah,
that should be some good baseball.
Interesting contrast.
Absolutely. So that's going to be exciting. You know, one guy, Kelly, that I'm just interested to seeing this weekend, and you mentioned him kind of off air, Justin, was Tucker Stockman. I mean, you know, really batted well in the Sun Belt tournament, gotten his average up a little bit, but could be a force for them down there in that eight hole.
Absolutely, it's good to have experience down there, and every time you seem to see something happening exciting in the conference tournament, it was always usually him involved with a bat. So, yeah.
We're all in the Southern Miss family, so we can talk about our family. We don't want anybody from the outside talking about us, right? But all season long, you guys, as healthy as this Eagle team was, I got to be honest with you, the catching position worried me. I just want, and again, because it's so strong, you have to be strong up the middle. And I can't necessarily put a finger on any one thing that made me uncomfortable about the catcher position, but I just wasn't necessarily, so I feel much better about it now, Glenn, than I did maybe even a month ago, the catching position.
Tucker's as solid as they come. When he first came here, I mean, there were coaches that I talked to that, I mean, it's a joke now. Like, I don't know if this guy's going to make it to next year. He had so much to overcome. He was big physical guy and stiff. His hands were hard. He talked today about learning the art of framing the baseball. He says, when he got here, my hands were bricks. You know, and he's a guy that said, you know, they told him, if you want to stay here at Southern Miss and play D1 baseball, these are the things you're going to have to do. And, man, to his credit, he went, embraced them all. And he's one of the most complete catchers in the conference right now, and a really solid arm back there, too.
And Dima and Justin, I've not been surprised about it, because Bob can even tell you that when Seth Smith first showed up on campus, from what I saw of him, I said, if this kid matures and grows like he's, it shows the potential that he's got, this could be one of the best ever. And I think now Seth Smith is starting to come into his own.
Yeah, I mean, I joked yesterday with Travis Creel, I mean, and asked if they gave him Dustin Dickerson's bat from the 2023 regionals. And he's been a steady force. I mean, a lot of these players have struggled, you know, at times of the season. You've seen, you know, Urban go through it. You've seen Gillespie go through it a couple of weeks. You saw Russo start out pretty slow. You saw, you know, Barrett, he really started slow, then really has gotten, you know, going the last few weeks. But Seth Smith's been one of those guys who's been constantly in the 300s. I mean, all season he's been in that 300 average, and especially when they moved him to leadoff, you know, with the ability of what he's able to do to move the baseball. You know, they put a shift on him, he'll move the baseball down the third baseline. You know, they don't put a shift on him, he'll move one down into the middle, into center field. He's been a really big piece for them, and you know, it's a guy that you. And bunts down. Yeah, that squeeze bunt he had in the championship game was incredible. He's been a really big piece for them.
And it's interesting to me, Justin, how baseball heritage and lineage is coming into play, because the last shortstop, Dustin Dickerson, his dad had an extensive pro baseball background. Now Seth Smith, whose dad had the opportunity to play for the Tigers. Mm-hmm. So, you know, this guy is especially good. His father was especially good since he got to play for Detroit. I'm waiting for you guys to laugh and joke about that.
I didn't want to make you mad.
Isn't that a hockey town?
But, well, it is. That as well. But that, I think that means a lot. I think just inherently those kids pick up things because their old man was in the business that other guys just aren't around.
Absolutely. You know, genetics, you can't control that. But the instincts is the big thing is, especially in baseball, being a step ahead instead of reactive is a big thing. And he's really got those instincts.
And I want to ask you, Justin, about pitching approach, because we've also talked about, going back to Jeremy McClain in the first segment today of our two-hour coverage, that this weather forecast is ominous. It's a roll of the dice at this point, whether it's going to rain or whether it's not going to rain. If you're a starting pitcher, you've got your music on, your beats or whatever you're listening to prepare yourself, then you potentially go out there for two innings. Lightning shows up, then, you know, do you come back out? Do you not come back out? How do you deal with the mental uncertainties as to whether a game is even going to get played? In this case, you're Camden Clark.
A wise man told me one day, worry about the things you can control, not what you can't. You can't control the weather, but you can control your mental approach, and you have to be ready until they say, don't be ready, stand down, we're going to do it, and then you just refocus yourself and do it. Now, on the physical side, it just would all, if, you know, you throw a few innings and then, you know, the weather comes, it just depends on the length of delay and what pitcher it is, you know, how long they have to sit before they can go back up. It just depends, obviously, you know, with those arms you got to protect. You don't want to sacrifice an arm, you know, sitting on the bench for 2 hours for a delay. So I'm sure that'll all play into the decision whether they start the game and move at what time it's going to be start. They're going to make sure they have a clear window for that time.
One of the things that I've often wondered about, though, is if you are a starting pitcher and get in 30 pitches or whatever and then the weather comes in, you get sat down, then you don't go back out. And I've often wondered why. What particular set of problems does that bring? Why couldn't you, if you've only thrown 30 pitches, warm up and go back out there again?
Well, I don't have an arm that's worth the money that these guys do, so it didn't matter. But it's all more, you know, health and safety is what they always discuss. Mm-hmm. And I just think you get up all the pregame, all the pitches in the bullpen, you know, in the game, the adrenaline, and then you sit down for, you know, I don't know the spec they use now or whatever. But, you know, you start – a 30-minute inning can happen sometimes, so it's not that big. But you start getting into hour and two-hour rain delays. You have to start taking into consideration because then, you know, if you go and restart the whole process to go through the pregame warm-up and the whole routine again, where are you going to be at when you come out of that? How many pitches have you thrown?
And some guys are just completely different physically. Some guys are max effort guys, big fastball, big velo guys. Other guys are more easy thrower guys, looser arms, you know, breaking ball stuff. Say Sively. I mean, a Sively, I've seen him have to sit and come right back and, you know, and pitch. Yes. Maybe a guy like Clark, a max effort guy who, you know, is a big fastball guy, maybe, you know, it's a little harder on a guy like that.
Yeah. Glenn, I wanted to ask you, going back to the catcher position, obviously Cam Clark going tomorrow afternoon. We've seen in the past where Odom historically catches Cam Clark. Do you expect that to be the case, or do you expect Stockman to get every game this weekend?
I kind of expect Odom to be that guy. I mean, pitchers are, you know, some pitchers are really particular about, you know, who their catcher is, and that apparently is a thing. And then, you know, comfortability on the mound. You want your guy to be comfortable and ready to go. So, yeah, I expect to see Odom back there.
Well, that would answer a lineup question if for those who are trying to keep track of who the lineups could be. But as we get closer, guys, you know, and I think the rain finally stopped for the love of God.
Oh, don't push it now, Demon. We'll probably have a gully whopper come through here in a few minutes. We've talked about depth on the pitching staff, but one of the other advantages I think that Southern Miss has is overall lineup flexibility. You know, when you got guys like, you know, Ty Long, the different guys that can be used in different situations, not only are you depth on that pitching staff, Glenn, but you could move some pieces around if you had to. Ideally, you wouldn't want to, but you have that advantage where a lot of other teams don't, even though they are at this high level now playing regional baseball.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, Ty, you know, his emergence late has been big for Southern Miss.
Yeah.
Gives them a little more athletic component on the, you know, on the back end of that to turn over the lineup. And, you know, Ty, with his athleticism, he could play anywhere in the infield, you know, regardless of first base. You could plug him in anywhere in the infield. He'd be just fine.
And we haven't really talked a whole lot about Davis Gillespie, Dima, but what do you expect to see from him this weekend?
I didn't think he had the best weekend in Montgomery. Kind of struggled. Had a nice Sunday. But, you know, I just think these guys play better here. I mean, you've seen that all season. I think they're, what, 23-5 at home or something like that. They all play better here. So that's a really big feather in their cap this weekend.
Well, if we do get some rain delays or lightning delays, Fuzzy's is the place to go.
Absolutely.
To hang out. And we're going to continue our live coverage from Pete Taylor Park, where Dima says it has stopped raining momentarily.
Mm-hmm. We'll hope. Nope, I see it.
See, you had to say something about it. Bob Getty's back from his water aerobic sessions with Wanda, and he will rejoin us on the program in just a moment.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour. The Eagle Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
All right, everybody, welcome back. Super Talk Eagle Hour wrapping up our second day of coverage of the 2026 Hattiesburg Regional. they'll continue tomorrow. We'll be doing some live reporting from the baseball field, and Kelly will be anchoring us back in the studio, but we'll certainly be keeping you up to date. Hopefully, Kelly, they're going to be playing when we go on the air tomorrow at 1 o'clock, but I don't know.
I hope so, too, Bob, but I just got reading the body language and everything else from Jeremy McClain today. I don't think
it was
they're
a little
too
concerning.
Yeah, I don't think they're too optimistic. Because, really, what do you do if you if it's not raining at 1 o'clock, but it's going to be raining at 1:30? I mean, do you start the game and then, you know, and then the light, the unpredictability of lightning, you just, there's so many decisions.
Well, we're broadcasting, as you've been hearing the last couple of days, from the Warren & Warren Asphalt Suite here. And again, I want to thank Josh Warren and Wendy Warren for making this suite available to us. They're wonderful people. That's a great company. 40 years serving the Mississippi Pine Belt and really all through the state of Mississippi with quality asphalt work. Also, we want to thank Pearl River Resort. They've been a great partner with Super Talk and a great partner for the Eagle Hour for a number of years. And happy to say that we have Joey Jordan and Michelle York here all the way from Bocoma and Pearl River Resorts. Michelle, let's start with you. Thank you for coming. Is this your first view of Pete Taylor Park from an angle like this?
From the suite, yes, and it's absolutely beautiful.
It's really stunning, isn't it?
It is. It's just amazing, all the transformations and improvements that everybody's done throughout the years, compared to the first time that I saw it, which was about 5 years ago. Definitely, it's amazing.
Okay, I know that down here on the field, I don't think I can see it from here, but is your logo. And I know that Pearl River has been a big supporter of Southern Miss baseball. Why is that important to you guys?
Well, hey, I mean, we're in the South as well. So it's important us for to be in every single venue to highlight the importance of the Pine Belt.
Mm-hmm. And, of course, baseball here is a big, big part of that, Joey, isn't it?
Very. Me personally, I love USM baseball. I've been coming to games here for years, and this stadium just seems to be getting better and better.
Well, we hear there may be more on the horizon. We're not at liberty to say that right now, but we understand there could be news about Pete Taylor Park coming pretty soon. What's your role at the casino?
I work in the sports book.
Oh, okay. Well, would it be safe to say that some people are betting on Southern Miss to win the regional?
I would say that would probably be a fair bet.
And are they also betting, Joey, that the Cincinnati Bengals will be the Super Bowl champs?
No, they're not. You haven't seen a bet like that, have you, Joey?
I have not seen that one.
No, well, there's real good reason, because people don't just like to throw their money away. How many? Well, they won that last. No, they didn't.
They haven't won any Super Bowls, Bob.
Yeah, I keep forgetting about that.
Very much.
Michelle, what would you like? You know, Sportsbook has relatively new in the gaming industry, just a few years old now, but how popular has that become?
It's been amazingly popular. Like, you know, we've talked about this numerous times before. We didn't know what we didn't know when we first branched out to adopt Sportsbook. And the things that we have learned along the way has been pretty impressive. Putting the right people in place, understanding the game, understanding what the guest wants, and the betting aspect of it. It's mm-hmm. just amazing on once you put your ear to the ground, what you find out. Mm-hmm. And having the right people in place, and that's why it's so advantageous to have Joey by my side.
And one of the things that I'm amazed about, Joey, and I don't know how you guys keep up with all of this, but you can almost literally bet on anything. Two crows flying over, which one's going to land on the telephone pole first? I mean, it's unbelievable the things.
What are the odds on that bet, Joey?
50-50, you know?
I have not got the odds on that one, but we do have a lot of items to bet on.
Yeah. Is it safe to say you'd be safer betting on two crows landing on a pole than you would Cincinnati winning the Super Bowl?
I can go along with that.
Yeah, I would agree.
Kelly? I would wager on that, too.
Just remember, you're a guest on this show, Joey. No, but we're hearing more and more that the gaming industry. Now, I know that at Bocoma, you get on your app, and you can bet there while you're on the premises at Bocoma, but I'm hearing that on the horizon, maybe that a lot of sports books will be getting away from that, and you could perhaps bet from your home computer. I don't know about all the cyber stuff that has to go along with that, but tell us where it started, where you think it's going to evolve in, say, the next 5 or 10 years, Joey.
I mean, there was a bill introduced. Currently, that did not pass.
Okay.
Our casino at the time was not involved in that bill. I don't know if it will be in the future.
But that's what it was about?
Yes. Currently, you have to be on our property, on our Wi-Fi, to use the mobile app.
Mm-hmm.
Me personally, I hope it stays that way, because I'm scared we would lose business by it going outside of that.
I understand what you mean. Yeah, different avenues that people could take.
Yes.
Well, right. Michelle, I'm glad you came. I'm glad you got to see this beautiful place that we're all so proud of from up here. It's gorgeous,
yes,
isn't it?
Yes, thank you for inviting us.
And thanks for the continued support, too, man. You guys have been great.
Yes.
You guys have indeed been wonderful, and we recommend all of our listeners, if they want to enjoy a good afternoon or evening of gaming, there's only
a
couple of places to go, and you
nice
own all of them.
We have a very nice restaurant as well, Red Creek.
Be
Red
sure
Creek Restaurant, Red Creek Express. And if you want service, come to Bocoma Casino.
And I'm so confident I'm putting $2 on the Bengals to win the Super Bowl.
I'm going
to
make that bet as soon as I get back.
Hey, thank you both very much.
Thank you.
We want to thank Bocoma, Corner Market Food Stores, Pearl River Resorts, Regal Home Center, Bank First, and Warren & Warren Asphalt. Southern Miss.
To the top. Let's do it.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.